We here at Dungeons & Pop are celebrating over 2 years of podcasting and are having a dice giveaway. If you go to our Twitter, at Dungeons Pop, and you retweet our giveaway post, you get one entry. If you tag us in a tweet, replies don't count, telling your friends to listen, you get two entries. If you tell us your favorite Adventures with Attitude or Breaking Point character, and why, you get two entries. Tag us so we'll see it. We will be picking at random the winner at the end of June.
Greeting, listeners. This is going to be a short intro, as the episode we recorded has a lot of the info for the previous episode. We will be sending out the winners of the dice contest in the middle of next month. Some things came up, so I don't have the funds to send them out right away at the beginning of the month. Our promo for this episode is, once again, Y'all Come Back. It's a fun podcast, bunch of silliness. If you've enjoyed the silliness of our podcast, you probably would enjoy it.
From the middle of a donut-shaped island in the middle of a lake comes a podcast about the small miracles and big hearts of small-town life.
I'm Y'all Come Back's fire chief and town historian, Gil Gilman.
And I'm our superintendent and coroner, Baby Smith Jones Johnson.
That first guy you heard? He's our new mayor.
And we recruited him to help us save our town and start a podcast.
You see, the state is trying to strip us of our status as a town. And while Mayor Manny has a lot to learn about the town
and fashion,
together we can show the world why Y'all Come Back deserves its place.
This is a place where friends make each other casserole and hold hands to scream at eldritch spirits.
This is a place where cats hold public office. A place where children can strive for glory in the Little Miss Cornhole competition.
This is Y'all Come Back.
Y'all Come Back.
Oh, sorry. This is Y'all Come Back.
No, Manny, say it from the gizzard, like we practiced.
This is Y'all Come Back.
Listen to This is Y'all Come Back wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, on to the show. When last we left our heroes, they had recently escaped a trap led by what appears to be some kind of weird Muppet zombie? Or maybe something else. We'll find out as they fought their way out, discovering to, would you guys say horror, that one of the Muppets that they were fighting was apparently used to be a person.
Yes.
Oh, that would definitely call for horror.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep, definitely.
Especially after one of you blasted its face off.
Nice.
True. And then stabbed it through the mouth.
Was that me or was that somebody else that did the shooting?
No, I think blasting, that wasn't me. I didn't shoot.
Right.
That was John Claymore.
Okay. Living up to my name, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the party absconded with a pet Muppet dragon, missing a zombie, entrails.
Half of one, at least.
Dragon head, I think.
Yeah, the front end.
Or half of it, yes. The head's dead. It's the other half we've got.
No. Reverse that. The back end's dead. I got the front half.
Oh, okay.
Because it was trying to nibble at me.
Okay. We've got the head.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dragon head. Got it. Okay.
And you've absconded to the library, or at least the local office.
The local branch.
Yep.
Which, honestly, the local branch, which actually is inside a library. There's a lot of hustle bustle going on. I would say this is something you guys know from previous, that a lot of the staff that's actually not out in the field are surprisingly young. There is an office even actually occupied by a 13-year-old. When asked about it, they just said it's complicated.
Of course it is.
Oh.
And it's the reason why you guys got hired.
Yep.
Well, I mean, hey, there's an entire song about that. Haha.
Yeah.
If you guys feel like your characters should investigate further, you can do an investigative mystery.
Okay.
We're basically doing the one shot. There's a larger picture plot.
Yeah. Kind of an anthology, right? Or sort of.
Ooh. Okay.
So question. Are you saying that we get these teenagers treat us with attitude if we ask about these things?
Yeah,
I went there. Yes, I'm a dork.
So I rolled a 10 on investigating mystery, but I guess I need to know a bit of a scene to know how I'm investigating this mystery.
Well, you mean it could have been something you asked your handler, or if it's something there's like a lunchroom you could have got stayed around. Goss, how do you think your character would have approached this?
Yeah, so we all got to this library, and it looks like a library, right? So maybe there is like one of those. I don't know if the library's where you are is like this, but we usually have like there's some of these rooms you can book by the hour for like presentations or whatever.
Oh yeah, like office rooms.
Stuff like that. Maybe you book one of those and pull in. Yeah, little office rooms. And maybe we ask one of the staff who we know are.
We give a special passcode.
Part of the quote unquote the library with a capital L, you know. And ask, why all the young folk here?
Are you, which of the questions from investigating, are you asking what happened here?
Oh.
Or?
That is a good question. All right.
I hit the wrong one.
Yeah, what happened here is actually the one that makes the most sense with that.
You kind of get the impression from, they're kind of like, hushed up, like, Cal, you've been... wait, is that right name? Yeah, Cal, you've been doing good work, so...
Cal.
Just, let's put it this way. The organization has had problems with we've told you before that, like, some of the problems we're having here is from the narrative. And I know that probably sounded cheesy at the time, but... Well, when you do a little magic, what do you think you're doing? Or what would you call that?
I would call that using magic.
Bending the world.
Yeah.
Or bending the world, controlling the narrative.
True.
We used to be, many of us here have been initiatives. And there's a cost to being an initiative, to using magic in that way, that we are not necessarily those a part of the narrative, yet we use it.
So is this... And I guess you would say, so is this like an imagination thing? Like kids get more imagination, so...
What's the movie monster phrase I'm thinking of? Messed with things man was not meant to know. And this is John being snarky in character, by the way.
Well, more like, well, let's say you're an author and you're writing a story.
Mm-hmm.
And then the characters in that story start writing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
At first, it's cute. I mean, there's a lot of movies out there where meta-knowledge is. But the issue we've been having is as initiatives, we're not the main characters of our story. Not like folks like... And we've had issues in the past where we've pushed back to the narrative and the narrative pushed back. There's a couple of phrases you call it, reincarnation, reality warping. We've just settled with just dealing with it with being a...
I repeat myself, you messed with things man was not meant to know.
True, very true. But that's part of why we've recruited you and your friends, Marcus here, and Mr. Claymore.
So we can reach the high shelves.
Well, you're people who the narrative has chosen to give a helping hand with your various the things that it's brought into your lives. It just makes it easier. It makes it. We still have some initiatives out there, but we've grown to incorporate others who have been touched by the narrative because, you know, I mean, if the narrative didn't do something horrible to you, like, say, turn you into some kind of monster that actually feeds on people and kill people all the time.
Very, very pertinent clearing of throat.
And I will say this is actually a 13-year-old girl.
Oh.
You know her as Greta.
Oh, okay. Which, okay. All right. We know her. All right.
She still put her foot in it from toes to heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she goes, well, as I said, Marcus, people killing monsters, killing people all the time. Have you been killing more people than we know? As far as I know, we haven't even heard you kill anyone.
I mean, only with his bad sense of humor.
That's all I'm trying to say is the narrative has...
Occasion hasn't yet arose.
I think Cal will face palm at that.
Speaking of killing people, we need to talk about what happened at the mall.
Oh, right. That.
And yes, I said that specifically because I'm being a little gremlin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and Cal will back you up and say, yes, I think, even though this is all interesting about the library, I do think we do have some dead bodies and some creepy things that we still need to resolve.
Yeah, slightly more pressing matter. I don't want to be a Muppet, thank you.
How's that Stitch doing?
How is that Stitch doing, by the way, Sean?
Well, have you ever seen, like, the trailer for, like, the Child's Play movie where he's obviously been stitched together?
No.
It's kind of like that. Like, you see, you actually, guys can actually see a actual, like, it's very much a stitch like you'd see on a doll. And it, the lines of the crisscrossing lines are much bigger and more pronounced. They look like they were almost like if they were in, like, a bad scrape and they had to go to a mob doctor, kind of. Stitch.
Starting to look like a leather Muppet?
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
Hmm. Got it.
Like, I think Grail looks up and goes, oh, now that's just, ugh. My 200 years of working here, I have not seen anything like that.
We're going to come back to that, little Miss 13-year-old. Secondly, how can you stop me from becoming a were-Muppet? Because that's where this is going, and... Frankly, I'm not keen on having something shoved up my rear end, be it hand or else.
We'll have to get our Mr. Manchester in here to look at it. He's the residential weird shit expert.
I'm sure.
Let me go get him.
You guys need to work on your titles.
I don't know. It's kind of on the nose as he kind of rubs at his stitch.
Yeah, and coming from a 13-year-old, that's different too.
I would say, John, you've seen Troy, and you know exactly what she's talking about.
Mm, okay.
From appearance.
Yeah, John just kind of rubs his head and goes, just wait, folks. Just wait. Tell him we have a dragon. Or half of one, anyway.
Hmm.
I'm gonna roll a chance to die here. I don't wanna...
Oh, good.
I'm rolling a lot. This is a lot. You hear from the hallway, dragon!
There we go.
And there's footsteps heading to the room. And you see a young man. He's a little older than Greta here. He's about 18. He walks in. He has blue hair?
I thought it was blue skin and yellow hair.
Oh, okay.
No. Blue hair. Well, you think it's hair at first, and then it starts to move. And then you kind of realize that his hair is... been transmogrified into tentacle.
Yeah.
It still looks like hair, but...
Alright.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on him.
And his eyes are black and darkened. Like, it kind of almost looks like ink moving around inside them. Like, he kind of looks like he just survived. He stepped out of a Cthulhu or some kind of Eldritch thing.
I was going to say, it sounds like H.P. Lovecraft here.
Either that or he's an extra on a Mass Effect set.
So what's his name?
His name is Troy Manchester. He's considered an ally to most of the field agents. And yes, I intended that pun, Eric.
Hmm.
Yeah, I figured. Of course, I'm probably the only person listening who's going to get that pun.
It's a deep cut.
Quick aside, it's because it's our superhero universe that we haven't actually shared much to people. And Troy's superhero name is Ally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he comes out and like, all right, well, what do you got for me? What what's going on with everyone? And then he sees John's face like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, okay, so long story short.
John, he kind of gets up in your face and he's like examining it really close with those freaky eyes.
And he's going to back away from said freaky eyes. It's like, long story short, apparently, there's something happening at the mall we were sent to that is making puppets turn real people into puppets. We faced one of these weird puppets because the shop owner was one of the two shop owners we visited was turned into one. Otherwise, puppets are coming to life, and he shoves the trench coat with half the dragon into Troy's arms.
All right, and then so you see Troy take the coat over to the table in front of him and sets it down. Surprisingly, he just opens it.
Careful, he bites.
Troy just seems to smirk at that, and you see it kind of just lunge and bite his neck. And there's a moment where, like, it lets go, and it, like, kind of, like, see it kind of scoot away from him, and as black ichor kind of bleeds from his neck for a moment before coming back, it's like, oh, don't worry. It won't like what it tastes.
Yeah.
Only good thing about all this, and he waved at his head.
I don't know what's more disturbing, the puppets coming to life or that?
And Cal will be blinking and just...
I'm just wondering, is he also the resident medic? Because if so, I'm kind of nervous, because...
You should be.
I have harm, and I need to get it fixed. But I'm not sure I want this guy to be patching me.
I'm tempted to do it, but now I'm worried that... I will admit I'm kind of worried that this is going to get comparisons to a certain medic you know of. He's obviously not dead. This guy is not dead.
I mean, I'm not comparing him to that. I'm just comparing to...
I just mean our listener.
Yeah,
I would say Troy is the resident medic.
We have our own medical examiner, and he is ours. No one can have him.
I want to say he is the medical examiner just because it makes it easier to be making up a medical examiner on the spot.
Fair enough.
Okay, well, I mean, but is he, like, actual medic? Like, does he work on people?
This is a, you know, thing that a person of the weird knowledge would probably need to look into anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that to say, I just wanted to see if I could get my arms fixed, because I have a couple of them, and...
It would be nice.
Yeah, I think he'd be able to help out with this, and he's like, interesting. He goes down, it's kind of subdued, and it looks afraid of him, but it's... And I think you kind of see that, if you look at it... Well, actually, aren't you guys looking at it after it reeled back? I guess it would be a question. Like, how hard are you guys looking at it?
I'm going to actually go over to it and offer it comfort because it seems scared.
Yeah.
And it seemed to bond with me at the shop, so why not?
I mean, you're a fellow Muppet, right?
Yeah, he's not doing that. I think he's keeping back, just observing things.
Yeah, Cal's going to keep back.
Considering that I'm already on my way to becoming, you know, one of these live Muppets, it biting or scratching me isn't going to make it worse.
You're one of them.
Not yet.
Yeah, I mean, two of you are actually on your way that way.
One of us. One of us.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Didn't Cal get scratched as well?
Yeah, Cal, you got scratched in the leg.
Yeah. Do I see anything there?
Yeah, you definitely have stitches where you were scratched in the leg.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Not as bad as John's.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't... I'm trying to recall, was I seriously injured by these puppets? I cannot for the life of me. I'm pulling a blank.
I know you took harm, but I don't remember from what that was.
Mine was for a gunshot.
I took harm, but I don't know if it was from puppet or something else.
You took harm from the puppet, but I would say as you're a monstrous yourself, I don't think it would...
Not...
Vampires can't become werewolves, and werewolves can't become vampires.
Ooh. Okay. Vampires. Got it.
There we go. Bambies right. Cannot become Muppets.
Nice. I think...
John, you do notice something interesting.
Yeah. What is it?
Its eyes are completely black, like Troy's now, but it does look at you. It does seem docile.
Okay. Yeah, I think just in the background with the two of them standing there... When he sees John look and see that he's got the stitch, I think he just very quickly does like a He just inspects very quickly to see. He's like, do I have a stitch? Huh? It's like, no, and then just laps to silence.
I think you kind of, you see the piece of a stitch, but it's shrinking.
Ah, okay.
Flesh around it, because I think as a banshee, at least my knowledge of banshees, they're always kind of pale. I feel like it's kind of like...
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of color.
They are death spirits.
So you kind of see around where the stitch was, it looks like normal. It's more colorful, but it's just, you kind of see it kind of receding back as if the narrative that you have upon you is saying, nah, he's mine.
Hey, all right. I mean, I don't like it, but hey, it stops me from turning into an evil Muppet. That's pretty darn cool right there.
Is Greta still in the room or did we talk to her before coming into the room? Quick clarification.
Greta's still in the room. She is watching. Oh, I don't think I didn't mention before. She does have a firearm.
Okay. Greta.
Oh, okay.
And her hand is on it, but it's not. It's safety's on.
Greta, can you be a deer for me, please? Can you find me some fabric and a sewing kit?
She looks at you. She looks at John for a moment, tilts an eyebrow, and just.
You heard me.
She sighs and goes, all right. Fine, let me go find something. And then she looks at Marcus and goes, you know what to do if anything goes wrong, Marcus. Hey.
This also gets her, the most human of the group, out as well.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she said herself, she's not a field agent. We are. We're, you know, capable and trained for this sort of thing. Granted, she is also 2 centuries older than us. I think only Marcus could possibly contend for older. But, yeah, fewer targets in the room. All right, Mr. Manchester, can you heal us? Can you turn this back? Can you help us stop the puppet zombie invasion?
Would you like a roll for that to see what we find out or what he can do for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would, you guys get a roll for that to,
What are we rolling?
And just let me know what you're focusing in on for what you've learned, basically.
Okay.
I will be investigating mystery, and you can use...
Investigate mystery, right.
Okay.
You can focus on any of the information you've already learned, like you know that these things were created by a Thomas Boyd, is one. You know he died recently.
Right. Yeah, I'm not convinced we ain't gonna find a puppet of him somewhere.
So I still have 2 holds from the previous investigating mystery. Can I just carry that or a new one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you have 1 more.
Maybe my question will be, what can hurt it?
I think you see Troy kind of like rubbing where he got bit and you saw the ichor before. That definitely wasn't mutagenic. It's not some kind of... Oh, wait. You asked what can hurt it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, technically, yes, it's mutagenic because I'm mutating.
And then he goes, you know, you're transmuting due to a spectral entity.
Spectral.
This is not a biological. This is a...
Paranormal would be the term I would use.
You gotta...
Oh, paranormal. At least it's familiar ground for me.
He's like, there's gotta... My best guess is there's something holding whatever is doing this to the world.
Oh, good.
Usually it's some kind of item. You guys find where that is, destroy it. It's got nothing holding it here.
Okay. I think I will roll for investigate, and I am going to be focusing on
I got a mixed success, so I got 1 question.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, on the grand scheme of things, I have 1 question to ask, too.
Yeah. You can go on.
I kind of want to ask, what is being concealed here? Because, as Sean said, we have all the notes, we just need to put it together. So, what is being concealed here?
Yeah.
I, as a former military person and former cop, am going to take our information and basically... string theory it and go, okay, where's the connection? Like, we have, you know, as you said, we have Boyd, the the contemporary to Jim Henson who died recently. We have the two shop owners who know about him and recently got a lot, as in amount of stuff of his, in like an estate sale, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Including an autographed book by Boyd. Weren't there also a couple of books we noticed, like, about tulpas and stuff?
Yes, that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
So there's got to be some sort of focal point at, like Sean just said, that is causing this, which means either it's something Boyd himself did or a fan of Boyd to make Boyd's work live on after Boyd died because he was sick.
Okay, I think this takes a little bit of looking and a little bit. You get Troy gets out of his phone, starts Googling on the internet.
I mean, you know.
Sorry, internal joke. And the book mentions hope to see you at the show.
Okay.
Which seems strange because you never...
A show?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so you kind of think about that. It's like, no one's mentioned anything about this. And then you start looking into... So like you guys are looking around and then you find it's brief. There was a brief period before he died, before Boyd died from the records of his death, that he was setting up for a grand comeback. Despite his age, he was putting all this... He was putting up screenshots, trying to do social media to get people to come. He was like talking... He was even shitposting against the FNAF movie by posting comparison pictures of his puppets to the pictures they were putting up of the animatronics.
Ah.
Trying to draw up this... you like horror. You like puppets.
Look what I can do.
You like trauma.
Okay.
Mm.
So we need to figure out when and where the show was going to be. And if we find out where it was going to be, then we can find out where everything was kept in storage for setup on this, which is probably where we're going to find what we need to find.
Okay. After learning this, because I'm guessing that, you know, would have been relayed to everyone.
Oh, of course.
I think I will be rolling investigate to see if I'd like to think that he, like, correct me if I'm wrong here, or, you know, you can change it, but I'd like to think that he's been around long enough to have established acquaintances, I will say, not friends so much, because
business associates, quote unquote.
Acquaintances of his type, associates of his type are most likely of the monstrous persuasion, like himself. And, you know, like alliance of convenience kind of thing. So what he's trying to do...
So like informants and the like?
Yeah. Just people that, you know, I do you favors, you do me favors. I know something you need to know. I help you out. You owe me a favor kind of deal. And so, yeah, he's not above, you know, dipping his toes into that on occasion, if he must. So he's using this investigate to basically reach out to this small cadre of individuals to find out if anyone in the circuit knew of where this was going to take place or of when. So I will roll for this.
Oh! If we're talking supernatural stuff and we're talking about a spiritual anchoring, maybe you can ask your contacts or informants or whatever if there's been any kind of talk about any sort of relics that would perhaps facilitate that being sold
or object, yeah,
being sold lately or passing from hand to hand,
yeah,
or, you know, sold and passing from hand to hand.
Hmm.
Well, please roll better than me.
Ah.
Oh boy.
Well, I mean, you know, just
take an experience.
I mean, yeah, but actually,
this isn't Henry.
I haven't. No, it's not. It's not. Not at all. But see, the thing is, I don't think, let me check. I don't think I've used any luck points yet.
I don't think you have.
Good point. This would be a good time to do this.
There you have it. This is when Wesley used his luck points in a one shot.
Well, it's a one shot.
Yep.
Yes, I use them here and wait until the last.
Yeah.
Wait until the last possible moment in our ongoing show.
Well, yeah, that's an ongoing show. This is a one shot.
I know. I think I will use a luck point to make that a success.
Okay.
So I am one luck down.
And everyone's used one luck now. That's cool.
I gotta look up one thing, because you do have a thing that happens. You use luck.
Ooh. Hey.
Oh, right. We all have this luck special thing, don't we?
The luck special? Some do. I don't have one. Mundane doesn't seem to.
Oh, no, you do have one. It's just very convenient for you.
Yeah, you get lucky. I get red tape.
Oh, do I? Some reason I couldn't find that last time.
Oh, you've triggered the luck special, but... Oh, here it is. When you spend luck, your monster side gains power.
Ha ha.
Your curse may become stronger, or...
Nice.
Another breed disadvantage could manifest. Great.
I think this kicks in as, like, the more you're looking into it, the more you're just trying, you're just, God, why is anyone interested in this? Why was even anyone giving this guy, I mean, you were creeped out by the zombie, but it's like, what is wrong with this place?
Yeah, and this isn't his kind of thing anyway, so he's kind of like, yeah, if this is his thought process, he's like, what kind of people would be into something like this? But I mean, what is the effect of the special, though? What happens?
Are you seeing?
Because I've already have a vulnerability, which I don't think I've mentioned to the other two, but I know what it is, so.
Well, I think you mentioned it to us, but not in character.
No, I didn't.
You know, I think you're just so upset about this that you're just, you kind of get the feeling that when you encounter this, not gonna be happy. You're gonna be quite angry.
Oh no.
Ooh. Okay. I mean. Oh. All right. Well. Yeah. Well. All right. He'll just he'll just file that away for a later time. But yeah. Basically, he reaches out on, you know, whatever the equivalent to monster social media or underground monster social or whatever. I don't know. But he basically...
The underweb.
Yes, the darker web. And he says, basically, we're looking into this guy. Has anyone heard of a show, either of a show or of any objects possibly connected to him that may have been passed around after his death? And in effect, I am asking what is being concealed here? That's a very good catch-all question, I think.
Works for me.
I think, like, people are like, you're asking about a haunting. Why would we be hearing about a haunting? And then there's a couple of responses. The last one is especially annoying, and I think this is what kind of sets you off, because the username has a screen of a picture of themselves where it's just a little green hand puppet with yellow yellow mittens, three yellow yarns of hair, and the response is, you're making us look like jerks. I told you, read a book. And if any of our listeners gets that reference, you're as old as me.
Wow.
Oh, and the username is Handy.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh my gosh.
There's a cartoon series I haven't thought about in years.
Oh my gosh. What?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Okay, yeah. Yep, that would make him very... That would make him rather upset. But so the effect is I don't find anything at all after a success?
After spending the luck and getting this... Yeah, he spent the luck and got a success.
And spending a luck? I spent the...
Well, no. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, this is just me explaining, like, what triggers it. I would say...
Okay, yeah, right. So I see this and I get... Yeah, I start feeling feelings. Great, got it.
So you think about it and you look into Boyd's thing, and you know that he had an apartment here, but that doesn't seem like a place he would do a puppet show. And then if you're looking further, there was a theater locally that he performed at.
Ah.
Hmm. Yeah. So upon seeing this, I think he might call, like, I think he's taken up a seat at one of the, like, just in general library tables. And I think he just makes hand gesture. Hey.
You.
Hey, you two. You two, over here. I think I got something here.
Oh, thank God.
What you got?
He comes over with half the dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's using just one of the library computers. And he brings it up on screen. Says, apparently our dearly departed puppet crazy friend had apparently this was the venue for his well, I would say revival show, but
don't.
Well, he didn't exactly revive.
I wouldn't put that off the table just yet, considering what we saw at the shop.
He could still be around.
Well, he didn't. Well, even if he did revive, it was not in the same way he wished to. Or maybe it was. I don't know, but.
I'm thinking if that was possible, then a more controlled transformation may be possible.
Entirely possible he could have maybe been. Well, could have been losing time and thought that.
I don't know, but at least that gives us a place to go.
Life was not long enough.
Yeah. We should probably go check that out.
Hey, Cal.
Yeah.
As you're talking about this room, would you say I mentioned you had a book. Did you look at the book? Would you say during your research, did you look at the book at all that you took?
Yeah.
Roll me a sharp.
Okay. Ooh, a +1 sharp. Okay, good. 7. It's mixed success.
As they're discussing this, it makes you realize something. You kind of look. You take out the book and you start looking back. One of the descriptions of it was kind of weird that it stuck out to you, but if you look at this book, it's talking about tulpas and how they're typically, the idea is it's manifestation. It's basically a being or object caused by spiritual or mental powers, like an imaginary friend is one of the examples. Or you kind of get this idea like, maybe you're not dealing with Thomas Boyd. Maybe you're dealing with the concept of Thomas Boyd.
Right. So the narrative of him, like this,
as a tulpa. Ooh.
His creativity, his drive,
his marketing persona.
We would explain why it seems. It's at least smart enough to keep out of sight, but it's also pulling these Saturday morning cartoons of like locking you guys in a antique room and antique shop and trying to kill you while there's still other people outside that would have heard it noise come down.
Do I think that maybe
heard the gunfire?
Just from what I learned about the library, like a little bit there, and just okay, so. Boyd, they said, died, so they must be like a body and a funeral and things like that. So I don't know if he wouldn't have turned into a Muppet or anything like that. But in reading about this tulpa and this concept of like the narrative of him, could it be possible that while he's dead, the narrative of him is alive and manifested in some way? Is that what I'm thinking?
Or maybe
in terms of Cal?
I'm thinking maybe soul transference or maybe an ascendance, like whatever. He was as a human reacted to whatever it reacted to, and it became this
yeah.
personification avatar of some kind of
yeah.
creative thought or tortured artist soul kind of thing.
Or just like, you know, I something like I want to be recognized as a great artist, and so
yeah,
like driving force could be, well, I'm not going to stop until yeah. I am recognized, even if.
So it's not him anymore, but that energy, that spirit
no.
lives on as this new thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we should be checking out this theater, because that seems to be the center of, like, where he was planning.
Oh, we definitely are. Definitely.
He was planning to have his revival there. So whatever narrative may be centered around that.
Exactly, because that's where everything of his is. That his energy would be the strongest there, because it's literal blood, sweat, tears. It's his life force made manifest through the things he created in life. So yeah, that would be the nexus.
It could be some kind of an item there in the theater itself. I think we should get over there, see if we can find out.
Should be.
I think Troy would just kind of feel, that would make sense, because if it was a ghost, they tend to be a little smarter. This seems to be like him. Well, and then he points at, like, the stick. You see, he's casting magic, and his eldritch tentacle is just slapping John in the face, but each time it slaps it, like, the...
What? Oh.
It's like an energy tentacle, but each time it slaps that, like, the...
I'd like to think that maybe Cal laughs at that a little bit, and then he probably gets slapped in the same way, right?
Oh. Yeah, because each time it slaps, you actually kind of see it almost cartoonishly kind of, like, rip part of the scar away, where, like, it's returning it to normal.
Ow. 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 Enough!
Does he have to do this to heal? I'm just... Oh, man.
I think he just kind of like... You're just kind of like... You are kind of wrapped in tentacles for a brief second, but it's not as bad as this because you're not infected with the curse. Yeah.
Okay, and mechanically, how many can I remove?
You feel like you got hugged by an octopus. I get the full massage treatment.
Yeah.
What's the medic? Let me figure this out. What is everyone at, by the way?
Three.
Two here.
Three.
I would say you each heal for one, and Cal and John are no longer...
Cursed?
You no longer got the puppet scars. You're no longer turning into...
No longer cursed.
Okay, I can deal with healing one.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because he's saying, like, try to speak up and say, that would make sense if it's just... The embodiment of him, he's known for making great realistic puppets. Maybe he's just still making more puppets with what he no longer sees. He's he's no longer human, so he no longer sees.
Yeah.
And can I use, just having healed the one, can I attempt to use my own magical ability to heal another?
Yeah. You guys have enough time to heal another.
All right.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I don't have any healing moves, but I'm not too terribly worried.
Well, there's such thing as first aid, so...
Oh, I don't have,
a first aid kit, so...
Oh.
I don't have a use magic...
Is that a basic move?
...listed here. Oh, there it is. Use magic.
Oh, right.
No, there it is. I see it.
I mean,
this would be a use magic roll, even though it's healing, right?
Oh, for you.
Well, yeah, but we switched out your use magic for telekinetics.
Oh, yeah, right.
But
I guess I can't do that.
No. Every person in Monster of the Week can attempt to use magic, if I remember the rules correctly.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, but I...
Yeah, it's a basic move, right?
But I'm just trying to, like, heal, so I don't know what I would use to roll that.
You would still use weird, because it's one of the options for magic.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to leave it alone because I don't want any of the bad effects.
I'm going for the all-powerful magic known as the first aid kit to heal one more.
Yeah. So are we hopping into one of our vehicles or both of our vehicles? Or I know Wesley can just fly there, but...
Yeah, I can.
Well, we did drive back in my car, so we have the one. I don't think Cal was able to get back to his vehicle. We all just kind of rushed.
Oh, I didn't take the... All right. Yep.
There is one thing before you leave. I think as you guys are trying to leave, Troy puts a hand on John's shoulder, like, good luck on this, Mr. Claymore. You're handling this better than I thought.
That's mildly disturbing, but thank you.
He just nods to you.
My weird roll was 9. My weird roll was a 9, which means I think I get a negative.
Let me see.
That's a mixed, so...
Yes, I get it, but there's something else.
I got an idea.
Okay.
Okay, here's this thing. You heal.
Yeah.
And then as you heal, John, Cal, you kind of see the magic kind of warp around Marcus for a moment.
Uh-oh.
And Marcus, you notice something odd.
Yeah?
Everyone's noticeably taller.
Did I shrink? Oh.
And you feel furrier.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
What? What? What did you do to me?
It has a problematic side effect, is, and I think you start feeling your face. Your face is puffy. There's two big buck teeth.
What?
And Cal and John look odd as you see a cartoon rabbit, Marcus, standing in front of you.
What did you do to my character?
This is why I don't touch the magic.
It looks like the Dad Squad has a wascally problem in hand. Now, how will this affect their final confrontation with the essence of Thomas Boyd? Find out next time on Time to Face the Music, Part 6.
Dungeons & Pop is a tabletop variety show. The campaign you are listening to is a ongoing one-shot reoccurring characters campaign using the Monster of the Week system.